you introduce yourselves, please?
Hi, I'm Toby Kuhn from Tangerine.
This is Marika. I sing and play guitar in Tangerine.
I'm Miro, and I'm Marika's little sister, and I play drums in Tangerine.
You have passed the test. You know the name of your band. So we got ninth grade. You were a classmate of theirs. We've got the Neons. We've got the Sutures. You have a decade of friendship. You started this thing as it is, I'm guessing, in 2013. Did I do that right?
Yeah.
Oh, God, I'm winning. Sisters and a friend in your 20s. So, we're done.
Nailed it.
There's nothing left.
And I wish sometimes people would ask us who we want to tour with so that we could put it out in the universe.
I have a question for you, and this might help, like your booking agent.
Right.
Who would you like to tour with? See? There you go. Wish come true.
Well, we were just saying that we would love to tour with Little Dragon.
Okay. Innocence, but a lot of pressure, dreaming, figuring out life, love, career. That was when you were starting out. Are you still kind of there?
I'm definitely still there. Still figuring everything out.
Yeah, I feel like it can come in waves sometimes. Like, it'll like knock you down suddenly, how you realize like this is your passion and that's what you're going for. And then sometimes you can just get lost in the everydayness of it. And when, like, you have those moments where you remember, like, how excited you were when you started it, then you get really proud of where you are no matter where you're at.
The first thing people glom onto is they're in their 20s. Well, I mean, there's Diet Sig, there's Sunflower Bean, there's a lot of bands that are kind of in their 20s. So why do you think people are glomming onto that so much? Is it the music itself?
Yeah, I think that people are hearing a lot of nostalgia in our music, and that translates into us talking about our early 20s, because we're in our mid to late 20s. I'm 29, and so that a lot of the songs
have... So old.
Yeah, so old. Soon we'll be adult ancient rock.
Yeah. Soon to be beautiful music.
Yeah, so I think that people are picking up on the fact that we're reflecting on our 20s with a perspective of looking back on it. I mean, she's my little sister.
That?
She's still there.
Anything to add to that, little sis?
I just think, I think people are always trying to tell a story about us, and that's one of the main things that they can hold on to now.
Are they doing a good job of getting the story? Or, I mean, what happens, you know, what happens to that transition when, I mean, you're almost there, when you turn the dreaded 30 and they're still trying to, you know, paint you as the, where they're in their 20s band?
I just have to quote Bridget Jones, once you turn 30 and you're a woman, you're just covered in scales underneath all your clothes. So I'm just getting ready for that transition, and who knows, we'll have to sing about that.
So this could not be a better moment to talk about this. Being Asian American, mixed race, you know, this whole melting pot that this band is, and identifying with that, you know, to a certain extent. And I guess what I really want to get at is that, again, people like to hang on things. But when you listen to the music, I mean, if you dig into the lyrics, you get something.
I think it's a very powerful time to be a woman in music or to be a minority or a mixed race. I think people can get caught up in that because they have to look for their angle. Like my sister said, everyone's trying to tell a story. But I'm happy for people to hang on to the Asian thing because we were still so underrepresented in music, in mainstream media. Almost more so than the woman thing.
Yeah. The woman thing.
The woman thing. I mean, it's interesting because the Me Too thing is definitely super relevant with like yesterday's revelations. About...
Oh, you mean Mr. Adams?
Yeah, I wasn't even going to say his name because I'm too
mad. I feel like, you can't really even separate Me Too from being the experience of being a woman in rock. We haven't talked about it at all in interviews. It's not something we've focused on, but you can't separate the experience because it's all part of one.
When it gets over the line, and it suddenly has gotten over the line in this massive way, I mean, it's like it's jumped over the line. It's not just like, oh, well, we heard a few things. Now it's like every day.
I mean, flirting is such a different thing than what we're talking about, like sexual harassment. Flirting is like, by definition, very fun, very consensual, and you can't flirt without reading the other person.
Right.
But sexual harassment is about not reading the other person and like not caring about how they feel. So I feel like one's an empathetic act and the other is just like a predatory act. I feel like they're very, very different.
I can tell you have something to say here.
Oh, no, I mean, that was pretty much stole the words out of my mouth, because, yeah, like, flirting is definitely, like, a two-way street, I suppose, and I think it's unfortunate when people don't, like, are not cognizant of other people's reactions to what they're doing.
Yeah, they miss it completely.
Yeah, and that's, and, you know, that's, like, that's just, that's where the awareness has to get much better, I think, you know.
Okay, let's get into music. Not fitting into the Seattle sound. You have to come up with something in a streaming world where somebody's going to type in a mood and they're looking for something.
Yes.
But, right? But it never used to be that way. There was soul and there was country and there was rock and there was hard rock and there was alternative rock and there was rock schmock. So, I mean, when people ask you to actually describe your sound, what do you do these days?
It's funny because it should be such an easy question. I feel like people expect you to just have an answer. Oh, this is what we sound like. But yeah, it does take some thought. And it's true. These days, people expect you to almost have your sound down to a playlist. Like, which Spotify playlist is your band? Are you the, like, settle in and chill playlist? Are you the happy playlist? And we've kind of struggled with that because our songs in the past, especially, they change mood, they change tempo, they change feeling, which we always really enjoyed and felt very natural. It's not super...
It's called writing good songs.
That's what we think.
What is the filter for a Tangerine song? When you're writing, how do you know it's a Tangerine song?
Mm. I mean, it's something that we've, I think, we've been writing music together for a long time, and there's the three of us, and so it's really... It's very hard to put into words, but it's very obvious when something that, like, I don't know, I'll be noodling with something, it's like, oh my gosh, this is clearly something that we can work with at this point. And it takes a lot of, like, bouncing around, like, everyone has to agree, everyone has to be equally into it, and it changes with time, the three of us sort of at the same time. I can't put an exact, like, this feels like that, yeah. So it's Tangerine now, you know?
I feel like for sometimes, 'cause we do a lot of visual stuff together as a group, so sometimes I know a song's working when we start talking about what video we would shoot for it, because we can picture, we want to tell the story, even what colors we associate with the song. We'll discuss stuff like that, and that's kind of when you know it's reaching that stage in our hearts, I guess, where we, like, could put a picture to it.
All the Seattle coverage, you know, when you played Numos and when you were moving to LA. So first and foremost, so far, has it accomplished what you wanted to accomplish there, other than getting out of Seattle, which of course you still identify as a Seattle band for all intents and purposes, but did it accomplish all the things you wanted to in terms of the business and in terms of inspiration and getting out of the suicide weather and all that stuff?
I think it has accomplished, I mean, what we wanted. For one thing, we wanted the inspiration of a new setting, and, like, the last EP we released was totally inspired by the move and the new surroundings, and a lot of the melodies I wrote during my commute between East LA and, like, West Hollywood, and, you know, influenced by the things that I was seeing driving back and forth on Sunset Boulevard. So I know personally, like, it's just been super gratifying creatively. Mm-hmm. And I think it's good in terms of business, like, it's just good to be excited to be a newcomer, because we got to know Seattle pretty well, but here, you know, if a venue asks you to play, you're really excited because you've heard of it for years and you've never been there before.
Yeah, I feel like, strangely, when I was in Seattle, I didn't realize how slightly inhibited I felt until I moved to LA. And suddenly when we were creating, like, our music videos and photo shoots, I feel like I used to always think of the Seattle community, how they would react to everything we did, because it's just hard to not think about that. But leaving and being in a city where people don't know us has really liberated us emotionally and just on the screen, and just going for things that we might have not gone for.
That's so true.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that, but that's actually so true.
So I'm gonna back into this one. I'll start with one word. Reverb. You like reverb. You like reverb on vocals. Now, most people would attribute that to, you know, nostalgia and a certain sound.
I mean, we've had pretty good experiences with all the producers we've worked with, but it was really liberating and just a lot of fun to sort of do it all on our own. And, you know, it kind of gets rid of that whole, like, I'm not going to say which songs, but every once in a while you record a song and you change it, and then you go back and you listen to your demo of it, and you're like, oh man, that was, like, we had the right idea in the first place. And this eliminates any sort of worry for that. And it's just, it's really nice. Like, sort of, we get a lot of time to think about it and to talk about it, like, in our own house, like everything we're doing in our own house. And yeah. It's just like, it's very, it's good for the creative process for us, at least for now.
We're kind of in this place where we have spent a lot of time sort of waiting for other people or wanting that team, wanting that perfect label, wanting this or that perfect manager at the same time as a perfect label, and they don't come at the same time. And so right now we're in this place where we're like, well, we don't want to wait for anyone. That's why we're recording our own music. I think, you know, we're ready to work with, for example, we might meet like the perfect producer who's like our spiritual soulmate, but we're not going to kill ourselves looking for them or like wait for them. But if when it happens, I feel like it will all happen because we've been like, just focusing on the music and performing it.
So where in the writing and the producing and the sound do you feel like it really has transcended to your environment?
I mean, for
me, or has it not?
I mean, I think a lot of it goes back to what Miro, my sister, was just saying, that we feel, I feel like I can just feel that we've all relaxed, like let out a sigh of relief. Not that Seattle is bad. Seattle is great. It's super nurturing. It's super easy to like get traction there and have people support you, which is awesome. But I think that we've all just relaxed into like not worrying that we don't fit into a scene, because it's, you know, it's a kind of punk there and like it's awesome and it shouldn't change. But that was never really us.
I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. And what it is two of your songs on the outside and songs by others in between.